Hey everybody, guess what time it is? Time for the movie retrospective.
Yeah.
Now this was the second week of the Patreon poll, and this one came out on top. Newer movie. This one was like, I think it beat Last Man on Earth by one vote or two votes or something like that. But this is a movie from 2008 called Lake Mungo. So this one got the most votes. Now I will say, I first heard of this movie, even though it came out, a while back. I first heard about this movie because periodically I kind of go on things where it's like, best underrated movies of like the last 20 years, best, that you haven't seen or whatever. So I try to get like all these underseen gems. So this was one that came up on a bunch of people's lists, and then I noticed that Tubi had it. So I sat and watched it by myself one weekend, and I really, really dug it. Now, I will say it's a psychological horror, it's a ghost story, and it's kind of like, it's a real slow burn, but it has some like really, really great, like creepy, really creepy imagery. And I really like the way that it unfolds because if you didn't know, and like I'm going to spoil this movie. So, if you haven't seen it yet, it's on Tubi. You can go watch it for free. Because it's really, really hard to talk about without talking about like all the twists that happen
It's
in
a
it.
mockumentary. It feels
Yeah.
like a real
It
documentary.
really does. They nailed the tone.
If I had thought it was real, I would have enjoyed it a lot more, I think. But going into it and knowing it was a mockumentary, for me, I find it just to be kind of dry. It's a real good movie. It's not necessarily my kind of movie. I mean, everything's to people's
Yeah.
tastes, you know?
This seems to be one that really, like I said, a lot of horror fans really are into it. But like I said, you have to be into slow burn. You have to be willing to get into the emotions of the family, like at the center of it, because that's kind of like a big part of what makes it creepy is just all the stuff that happens in this family. So like we said, it's a mockumentary, probably the best mockumentary in the sense that if you didn't know that it wasn't real, you would never guess. You know what I'm saying? And actually, the first time that I watched it, I was pretty sure it wasn't real. Like, I thought I heard that it wasn't real, but then when I was watching it, I wasn't sure. Like, you know what I mean? That's how good it came across. Because the guy that did it, Joel Anderson, he wrote and directed it. This might be his only movie, weirdly. He had been working on it since 2005. He wanted to do another movie, but I guess it needed too big a budget and he couldn't find investors, so he wanted to do like a smaller one. This is an Australian movie. He also got some just
Cat
sorry
is fucking driving me crazy.
that's
What are
Pookie.
you doing, Pokey? No. She
She
wants
likes
attention.
she's like, stop
She wants
that.
attention.
She's
She's
like,
getting
no,
into
I
the
wanna play
damn
with the
shipment.
paper. She's all,
Stop getting into the shirt shipment.
I know.
All
She's
right.
like tearing up all
Yeah.
the Please just didn't tear all the
Yeah,
fucking
and those are
envelopes open.
addressed already and ready to go, so she can't tear them up.
Yeah,
All right.
that's you can tear up the empty one
Yeah,
if you want.
stop
Actually,
tearing
there's one
up.
in there that's like empty that you can
Yeah.
go ahead and tear up.
She is the child from Mandalorian. Exactly.
She is.
She's
She's
the child from
like,
Mandalorian.
she's very
We're gonna make
mischievous.
a child fucking picture with the put her head on that
That would be
fucking little
easy. I could
body. Yeah,
I could Photoshop
that's right. She
that.
should be that. Yeah,
That's because
that's
she's got
you.
that little
The
face.
ears and everything.
Yeah. She's gonna
Yeah.
have little ears. But yeah, so this is an Australian film, so it was partly funded by the Australian government because he got like a grant to make it with, because it was like a a lower budget film. One interesting thing that he did, now to get the realism for the mockumentary feel, he not only got actors that, weren't super well known, like he got like some kind of, more obscure actors. He also didn't really have a written script per se. He had an outline of how the story was going to go, and then he basically interviewed the people, the actors, as though they were real people. So when you periodically hear a voice asking, the people in the movie questions, that's the writer director. So it's pretty much all improvised. They just had an outline of how the story was supposed to go, how the story beats were supposed to be, and they just kind of like improvised from there, so it would be like more real. They also got people that were not real quirky, or they weren't real. They were just like regular, normal people that were like very relatable. So in that sense, it came across, and watching it again like yesterday, it came across almost like the new Unsolved Mysteries or some of those like Netflix documentaries about like a true crime or something, it comes off like almost exactly like that. So like I said, if you didn't know that it wasn't real, then you might be fooled by it. You know what I mean? Because yeah. It goes into like supernatural shit later, but it keeps it very low key. So it's like, it could be, you know what I mean? It could be real.
Yeah, you know, appreciating a movie, that has a lot to do with fucking your damn mental state at the time. Maybe had I been in a different mood at the time that I watched it, maybe I would have enjoyed it more. When it comes to mockumentaries, I'm more into stuff like Spinal Tap, where the shit's fucking funny.
Yeah.
And you know it's a mockumentary, and it's just... But this is... I'm not going to say anything bad about it. It's just, maybe it was my mental state at the time. It's a well-made mockumentary. I think people might enjoy it. I think it just depends on
your
taste.
A lot of people seem to. It really has, as far as I know, on IMDb, it has a 94% fresh rating.
So there you go. It's just
and like
depends
I,
on your
a
taste.
Lot of horror reviewers really seem to dig it, and it's like underrated. Now, like I said, it's a very slow burn. It's very low key. It's also very sad. Like it's almost more. It's not like overtly scary, but it has like some really creepy or like an unsettling kind of vibe to it. And some of the imagery is very unsettling. So it's more of like that type of thing where it's just kind of like subdued. But in a way, I think that makes it creepier because it's more realistic. Like some of the stuff that happens in it is like supernatural, but not so out there that you're like, oh, that couldn't happen.
Real good special effects. When they show dead bodies, that looks real.
Yeah, that body looked pretty real. So let's kind of talk. Like I said, I'm going to spoil this. So if you haven't seen it, please go to Tubi and watch it. Don't yell at me because it's hard to discuss it any further without saying what actually happens in it. But I will say that if you want to see it and, go watch it because it's much better to watch it when you don't know what's going to happen. Like, because the first time I watched it, all I knew was that it was a mockumentary about a girl that died and then creepy shit started to happen. That's literally all I knew. So it's much more effective if you go into it not knowing what's going to happen, like what all the twists and everything like that, because it does have a couple of twists in it. So basically the setup at the very beginning, this comes across like there's this family, the Palmers, and in Australia, because like I said, that's where this movie was made. And they have a 16-year-old daughter named Alice. Now, they're all, like, at this dam, at this place called Ararat, like, for a vacation. It's, it's December, but it's summer in Australia. And she disappears. Now, they don't know where she is. They have, like, they have news footage. They have interviews with the parents and the brother and everything like that. And they're kind of talking about it in the past, like, as what happens. They were talking about how they felt about it and having to go home and not knowing where she was. So then you find out, they show through more news footage and more interviews with family members and friends and stuff like that, you find out that a couple days later, her body, or maybe it was a couple weeks later, I don't remember, but her body is found in the lake by this dam. So she had drowned. So they pulled her out, and like you said, the dead body effect, very realistic. It's like a very disturbing looking
It looks good. It looks like a real dead body's been in the water for
it
a while.
Really does, like it looks like pretty nasty. So the dad identifies the body as his daughter, because he feels like the mom shouldn't have to. The mom's name is June. The dad's name is Russell, I think, and the son's name is Maddie or Matt. And so then a few days after the body is found, Matthew starts reporting that like some creepy shit has started to happen around the house. Like they all say, we started hearing all these funny noises, like creaking, like your basic haunting kind of stuff. So then Matthew gets an interest in, I think they show a scene at the beginning where he's like a projectionist, like at a theater. So he starts to get really interested in photography and he starts taking pictures all around the house, all around the yard and all this other kind of stuff. Now it comes to pass that some of the photographs he has taken appear to show his dead sister kind of maybe like over in the corner or over, like he takes a picture of the backyard and it looks very much like Alice is standing there, like a ghostly version of her. But it's not, I love the way that they did the photographs and the footage of everything like that, because it's almost like, you could almost say that it's like, oh, maybe there's nothing there, but you know what I mean? They just do it like that. So it's like a lot more realistic. which to me like makes it creepier. So all these like photographs and shit like that start coming in, and so the mom is sitting there thinking, well, Alice is still in the house, like she's still haunting the house because she keeps coming out on all these pictures. So she calls up this psychic. I guess he's kind of like famous in the town, like he's been on the radio and stuff. So the mom decides she's going to call up the psychic to see like why Alice is still hanging around. And they have like a séance and all this other shit. And it does appear that nothing really happens at the séance, but it does appear that when they watch the footage later, it looks like Alice is like standing in the background like of the video. And it's really cool the way they do the shots, because they just have like the footage and it's like really shitty. It looks like old, VHS footage or something. And then you don't really see anything, but then it kind of like slowly pans over and close up, and then it looks like a figure standing there. It's like really creepy the way they did it. So this kind of goes on like this for a while. June is starting to feel like a lot of stuff starts coming out about how June feels bad because she was never as close to her daughter as she might have been, and now she's gone, and like she feels like it's too late. So she almost feels like she's getting another chance to like talk to her because she's still like in the house apparently. And then you come to find out, and like I said, spoiler alert, this is your last warning. You come to find out that all the stuff that you've seen, like the photograph in the backyard, like the some of the video footage, that because Matthew starts leaving his cameras running like in the house, like along the hallway, and it catches like figures and things like that. You find out about halfway through the movie that Matthew was faking all of these manifestations. Basically, he was either one thing, and he explained like how he did it. He's like, I would either take the photograph and he would double expose it, like with an old photo of his sister, or he would have some old video of her and then he would put it like in a mirror and stuff like that, and then he would record it so it would look like her ghost was like sitting in the room or something like that. So it turns out that Matthew has been faking all the shit. Now, so the mom is like bummed out. Because Matthew said that he didn't really do it to hurt his mom's feelings. He did it because he felt like his mom didn't get any closure because she didn't see the body. And so he thought that if the mom thought that that Alice wasn't really dead, like if she was still hanging around, like they would get the body exhumed, she would see it, and then they would be able to like get closure, they'd be able to move on with their lives and stuff like that. So the mom is like really devastated by this because she's like, oh, well, now Alice really is gone. And now she felt really bad about not being able to say anything to her when she still thought her ghost was around. And then there's yet another twist. While the mom is watching this faked footage that Matthew did of this ghost walking down the hall, she notices that there is another figure, which you didn't see the first time. It was there, but you didn't like see it because you were so busy looking at this like supposed ghost over here. She sees this figure crouching in her daughter's room. And she says, I thought it was Alice, but it's not. It was our neighbor. He was crouching like in the thing. So she's like, what the fuck is that guy doing in our house? So then they kind of start going through, and it turns out that Alice, when she was alive, she had babysat for the neighbor and his wife for several years. And it turns out that for the past couple of years, the neighbor and the wife were essentially having a sexual relationship with Alice, even though she was only 14 when she started babysitting over there. So why the guy was in the house was that there was a videotape of it, of all the three of them having sex, right? And so he was like looking for it, but he didn't find it. Like the mom found it because she saw where he was like crouching.
This is becoming too much of a temptation
She just
for
can't
Bucky.
stand,
She
she
just
can't
can't
stand
stand
it.
it.
She can't stand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then that whole thing happens, like, so they find out. And so the whole thing about this story is that nobody knew Alice at all, like while she was alive, because no one had any idea that this had been going on for 2 years. She had been very, so that's like a large part of the plot is like this kind of like family, and the fact that this girl was like alone, and like she didn't, like nobody knew her and nobody knew what was going on in her life, not her family, not her friends. Nobody seemed to know anything because she kept everything to herself. So they not only find out that, But they also find out that she had gone to the same psychic that her mom went to later on, but the psychic hadn't told them that. He said, well, I wanted to keep it like confidential and I thought I wouldn't be able to help you and blah, blah, blah. But when they found like the footage of her like talking to the psychic, she said that she had premonitions and dreams that she was going to die. So then they find out through one of her friends, like that they had gone out like on this school trip to Lake Mungo, hence why the, which is, I guess is a real place, but that's, you know, hence the name of the movie. So they found out they had gone out there on a school trip and she had been acting kind of weird, or she had gotten really upset and nobody knew what she was upset about. So they had like some phone footage of all the people like running around having a good time or whatever. And they seemed, and they caught phone footage of Alice looking like she was burying something like in the dirt, like under this tree out at Lake Mungo while she was on this trip. So her family decided to go out there once they see this footage and see what it was that she buried out there. So they go out there, they dig in the hole, they find this bag, and in it is like a bunch of her like most prized possessions, like some jewelry that she loved and everything. And her cell phone is in there. This was in 2008. So it wasn't like a smartphone. It was like a, you know, like a little kind of more flip phone, but it took video. It was just real shitty. So they find the her phone and they watch the footage on it. And it turns out, and this was like one of the creepiest things, like when I watched it the first time, and a lot of people were like really creeped out by the footage that she captured on her phone. It turned out that when she was out at Lake Mungo, which was a little while before she drowned, she was out walking and she was like filming and she sees a figure like way off in the distance and she's filming and filming and she gets closer and closer and closer. And then you see that the figure is her. And it's her, like, the dead body. Like, when they pulled the dead body out and she was all drowned and bloated and everything. So she basically saw a doppelganger, like, of her dead body out there. And she knew that she was going to die. So this whole time she's knowing that, like, something is approaching and, like, something is coming to get her. So they find that out. And then for some reason, like after that trip, like the family's like, you know, we decided, we finally came, like we had some closure. We came back to the house and it seemed like a lot better. So they decide that they're going to move and like, you know, go into the next chapter of their lives or whatever. And then it turns out in the final twist that when they show all of the faked like footage and photos and everything that Matthew had done before, like here's the fake Alice over here that he put into the photo and then it pans over. And then she's really there. So her ghost was actually there the whole time. And it's almost kind of like, the reason that I say this movie is really sad is because nobody knew Alice while she was alive. And then after she was dead, you know, they thought that her ghost was there and then she wasn't there. But then it turned out that she actually was there, but they thought she wasn't. So it's like they left her in the house all alone. And that was kind of like, there was a scene where, oh my goodness.
Don't do it, Jamie.
Why are you yelling?
She got mad.
Yeah, I heard that.
She keeps trying to tear up those envelopes. And when I stop her, she got mad.
Well, you can give her that one that's already, you can give her that one that's already torn up.
I pulled on her fucking leg and she's, now she wants to play on her back. Come on, give me. See, she does this shit because she knows it will get a reaction from me. This is...
Yeah, she knows, like, if she does something bad, Daddy will come down and, like...
Yeah, and wrestle.
And wrestle with her to get her to stop doing what she's not supposed to be doing.
And I accidentally trained her to do bad things.
See, I told you.
I should have just ignored it or taken shit away. Instead, I reacted. And she loves the reaction because I fucking play. You know?
Well, yeah.
And she's, she loves it.
Well, yeah, that's what... I told you this, like, when she was a kitten still.
Yeah.
Like, she knew...
You
almost
had to get a
like,
rise out of me.
Yeah, she knew all she had to do was go to the window that's like right next to his side of the bed and like start bashing on the blinds.
On the blinds.
It's really
pop,
loud.
Pop, 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 pop. Because she knows I'll run and chase her.
Yeah. She's like,
stop
it.
And she's like,
just like she used to get up on the DVD shelf and like pull them out and like fling them across the room because she knew like how much of a noise it made.
She wants me to fucking get down and wrestle with it.
She's just like a human child.
Just like a human child.
That like if you pay too much attention to them when they do bad things, they'll just do bad things all the time because they learn that's how
and
they...
And she's not a kitten. She's three.
Yeah. Even though she's very small.
Yeah.
But, you know, She's very small, 3 year old.
She just loves to fucking play.
But yeah, so that's why I think this movie is so sad, is just because this girl, who you never get to know, because basically at the beginning of the mockumentary, she's, you know, they're talking about her in the past tense, like she's already died. So you never really get to know her. You only get to hear her voice a little bit, like on videotapes, like near the end. And it's like you only see pictures and like kind of silent footage of her. So it's kind of like she's this mystery. And then like, as it goes on, and you find out that she had been going through this shit where she actually saw her fucking dead doppelganger, like, out of the thing, and knew that she was gonna die, and she was, like, dealing with that, and she didn't tell anybody. She was dealing with, like, the sexual abuse from the neighbors and didn't tell anybody. There was, like, all this kind of shit that was going on in her life, and she didn't feel that she could tell anybody. And then she dies, and then, you know, like I said, the ghost being fake, but then she turned out she really was there. But she still wasn't able to connect with them. Like, you know what I mean? They just kind of like, okay, well, I guess she's not there. We're going to move on with our lives. And then they left. And there's like a shot at the end where like the three of them are like posed in front of the house. And like in the window of the house, you can just barely see that there might be a figure there. Like she's watching. And she's watching as they leave. So it's kind of like she's kind of doomed to like be stuck in this house forever. And now her family is gone. So she like has no more. Like, so it's like, it's a really, really sad ghost story. But yeah, it's just like I said, if you're not into like real slow burn stuff, like you ghost story stuff, this isn't like, you know, jump scare kind of like monsters, nothing like that. It's just like a really good, it's like a really, really creepy episode of Unsolved Mysteries where ghosts are real. You know what I'm saying? Like it's kind of structured like that. So a lot of it's just like interviews, just like a real documentary would be, of them like talking about it. And then it's like intercut with, you know, documentary footage, news footage, you know, photos, like creepy. But like I said, I think that makes it eerier, like more unsettling, because it seems like a lot more real than something that's like over the top that had people like flying around or anything like that. So yeah, I just, like I said, it's on Tubi. If you want to watch it, I spoiled it, so hopefully you've already watched it.
Yeah, you saw the whole damn movie.
Well, like I said, it's hard to talk about if you can't talk about like all the twists and turns in it, because that's kind of like a big part of its appeal, I think. But as I said, I really liked going into it the first time I saw it, because I've seen it a couple times now.
I thought it was kind of long. I thought it was kind of dry. But like I said, you know, enjoying a movie, a lot of it has to do with that mindset at the time. It's just, maybe if I was in a different mood, I would have liked it better. But in general, this isn't my kind of movie anyway.
Yeah.
I like stuff that's funny or, you know, more over the top.
Yeah, or, and this, you know, is more like,
this is, like I said, it's like realism. It's kind of dry.
I feel like if you liked The Haunting of Hill House, you would probably dig this, because it's very much an exploration of grief, like how people react when someone they love has died, and they kind of, and all the conflicting emotions that they have about that.
There's a lot of fucking shitty Blair Witch Project kind of ripoffs, and I wouldn't put this in that.
This is nothing like that.
Although I'd say it's kind of like the Blair Witch in a way.
Well, yeah, in the sense that it's like a mockumentary. Right. And I really like the mockumentary format, because I feel like mockumentary is almost kind of like a subset of found footage, but it's not exactly the same. Because when you do a mockumentary, you're trying to make it appear as though it's something that really happened, whereas found footage is more like, well, you know, here's a videotape that we found and we're like showing it to you, you know what I mean? So it's like kind of similar, but not really. But this is easily one of my favorite mockumentary films. This and The Bay were actually really good. And The Bay might be on Tubi too. I'm not really sure. I don't remember where I saw that. But that's another one that's like a mockumentary. But this is the most...
Don't see you fucking shit up. Knocked that over and the purse went flying.
Yeah.
She knows that she's trying to get a damn reaction out of me.
Yeah.
Come here, Poop.
Well, it's working.
Yeah, it's working.
Because that's like, I can't even.
Yeah, she really, making me mad is like a game to her.
Yeah, she thinks it's hilarious.
She knows I won't hurt her. But she wants me to. What she tries to do is sometimes is she gets in this fucking mood where she wants me to get so mad that I chase her.
Yeah.
That's what she wants.
Yeah, that's
exactly. She knows how to get her eyes out of me.
Yeah.
You're driving me crazy. And she doesn't give a shit. She's over there fucking
with her little tail wagon.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to fucking break you.
She's very good at that.
Yeah.
But yes, this is the most realistic mockumentary I've ever seen. It's almost, if you didn't know that this wasn't something that really happened, you would think that it really happened because it really, just the actors fucking sell it, man. They really seem like just real people. The news footage looks like real news footage. The fucking kind of shitty, video footage, which is, it's shitty, but it's like realistically shitty, not like, oh, look, we made it look specifically shitty for this found footage movie. You know what I mean? Because there's kind of a fine line between, because you know how many shitty found footage movies there are. And there comes a point where you can take it too far. It's almost like wanting it to look like found footage. So we just like, we should eat it up. But this isn't really like that. This seems like a lot more realistic. And like I said, to me, that makes it creepier because it's almost like, it reminds me of Unsolved Mysteries a little bit, just in the way, or maybe one of the newer Netflix documentaries, and reminds me of Haunting of Hill House a little bit, in the sense that it's kind of like somebody is haunted by a doppelganger of themselves, which also kind of happened in Haunting of Hill House because she kept seeing, another spoiler alert, that the one character kept seeing the bent neck lady, which turned out to be her. Like, after she was dead, like, it hung herself with a broken neck and everything. So, as far as I know, this is the only two things that have really explored that. And I wish more things would explore doppelgangers, because I always found doppelgangers, like, really, really creepy. Like, David Lynch seems to do that type of thing a lot, which is probably why it creeps me out so much. But, I don't know, they don't do it much in movies, and I wish they would do more of it, because I always found it really scary. And this particularly, like, the one scene where she's, like, going towards it, and then she sees what it is, and they freeze on it, it's, like, pretty freaky. But yeah, so definitely, if this sounds like something that you would be into, I really, really do recommend this. I've seen it 2 or 3 times, and it's really, really good. But as you said, it's not big jump scare, it's not a monster movie, it's nothing like that. It's just very... It's very subdued, very creepy, just really, really good movie. And I feel like it's really underrated. So definitely go and check it out. And we will see you next time. Bye.